That works. Sorry, brother. Force of habit.
Well, good evening. Thank you for being here.
It's a blessing to be here tonight. And we are in town for the pastors and wives retreat this week. And the Lord has wonderfully provided for us to come. My parents flew up so we could fly down. And they're looking after our children. And we're enjoying some time together with family and friends. And we were in Wollongong this morning at Illawarra Community Baptist Church, ICBC, Illawarra Community Baptist Church. And wonderful to see the Lord's work continuing there. They have their mission conference this weekend. Brother Jason Kura was there, Brother Sidley Valoran as well. And we enjoy fellowshipping with them this morning. And I said to them this morning, thank you for praying for us. And I'll say the same. Thank you, church family, for praying for us. Before I get into God's word, let me encourage you with some blessings. We had a big year last year. That's an understatement. Some clear, huge trials of faith and some battles as the Lord allows, but lots of blessings as well. We saw three of our teenagers come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as Savior. And as a result, our Teen Girls Bible Club has grown. Some of the younger girls have now grown up and are teenagers. And so please pray for my wife. She has a whole brand new little group. And you know how that works. The little kids become teenagers all of a sudden. And so please pray for those who are not saved to be saved. Through this little ministry, we've seen five of our young ladies receive Christ as Savior. Some of them have been baptized before, prayed a prayer. In fact, all five of them had. And they truly came to the point where they knew they needed Christ as Savior. So we're praying the same for the boys. Last month, we had our first Teen Boys Bible Club. And it's taken 4 years. 4 years. And we'll talk about patience later on. But many times I haven't been patient. And the Lord has blessed the ladies, the girls' ministries. And we just had to wait on the Lord to provide some young men to encourage. And this year we have, we met with four. And one couldn't make it. And Lord willing, next month we'll have five young men in our little regular Teen Boys Bible Club. And basically we focus on salvation and spiritual growth. So those who are not saved will continually be challenged about salvation. And we get to know them better in our home and let them know that we love them and we want to help them if they need to be saved. And Lord willing, please pray for the boys who aren't saved to come to the Lord in God's timing. And also those who are saved to grow and to serve the Lord. So that's an exciting prayer request, an answer to prayer. And also we have seen the ladies' door knocking blossom and grow this year. They began with six ladies this year on a Wednesday afternoon that have been going out door knocking. I can't share with you the whole story of how this little group grew, but basically a spark was lit in one elderly lady's heart when she went door knocking with Sister Marge Guy at the Harris's Church. Then she came back, she went out with another lady, and the ladies' group started to grow. And the men are going out on Saturday afternoon. I'm training Brother Andy and also Lachlan, who was saved last year, came out for the first time last week. So that was very exciting, as you can imagine. So the Lord is blessing. Somehow He worked it out. Ladies go out on Wednesday. Men go out on Saturday. So our Wednesday night is full of blessings and prayer requests from the ladies' time out. And we're meeting new contacts. And I know I'm just sharing the blessings. There have been burdens and battles, of course. But last Sunday morning, we had the joy of seeing our first visitor as a result of door knocking, a lady named Joanne. So please pray for her. The JW's got to her first, but she's been going there, and she realizes that they're full of hypocrisy. They set a standard so high that even themselves, they cannot keep it. So she's seeing through that, so please pray for her salvation. Now, we know that's true, but another reason for us to be out with the gospel and to continue to go out with the gospel. So a wonderful answer to prayer there. So it's been a big year so far. Please pray for us. And there are many battles as well at the same time. And we Certainly appreciate your prayers for labourers. It's a joy to see Lachlan and Kirsty grow in the Lord. Lachlan's already serving in the church. He's serving at the door. He's an usher. He's reading out the scripture memory verses each week. So we got him in front of the pulpit doing some speaking. So you pray for him. And we believe the Lord is going to do something great in their lives as they grow. And thank you again for your prayers. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for encouraging us. Please don't stop praying. We are certainly visibly seeing God's answers to prayer in his timing. So thank you, church family. It's wonderful to be here this evening. Tonight we are going to the book of Hebrews to begin with, and then we'll be in Joshua chapter 6. But Hebrews chapter 30, just one verse to start with. Book of Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse 30. Why don't we read verse 30 together out loud on two. Hebrews chapter number 11, reading verse 30 together. 1, 2. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the faith, Lord, that was once given to the saints. We thank you for the word of God, which is sufficient for every area of our lives. Lord, we need your help this evening to revive us again by thy word. And Lord, we are so frail, we are so weak, when we turn our eyes away from you. Lord, you know what is taking place in each of our lives, Lord, in each of our hearts. And Father, you know the need. And Lord, your word has the answer. And Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit of God, he would lead us into truth this evening. He would be our teacher. He would, Lord, rebuke us and reprove us and exhort us to righteousness by thy truth. Father, teach us thy statutes, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Well, how many of you have ever thought about how a worm gets into an apple? Now, hopefully it wasn't when you bit into an apple and you found a worm had found its way inside. How many of you have ever had that experience before? Now, if you were like me, probably you just assume that the worm burrows its way from the outside into the inside. Unless you looked it up like me, perhaps that's what you assumed. But sometimes on the outside of the piece of fruit, there is no indication of something that had gone in. Now, it has been discovered that the worm does not come from the outside, but is born on the inside. Now, how does it get there? Well, it's a simple but amazing process. An insect lays an egg in the apple blossom, and sometime later the worm hatches in the heart of the apple and eats its way out. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? So if you've ever wondered how that worm got there, what an amazing process that has taken place, and what an amazing reminder that the seemingly impossible always has a solution. The seemingly impossible always has a solution. And in the spiritual life of the nation of Israel, they may have been standing there at the River Jordan, wondering how would they ever be able to overcome this impossibility, the city of Jericho. Now, would you agree that the city of Jericho was an impossible obstacle that stood between them and God's promises in the land ahead? It was a spiritual obstacle that God had placed there. Before they could move into the city of Jericho, the land of Canaan, they had to overcome this giant literal obstacle. And it's a wonderful picture that God has given us in Hebrews 11:30 of the obstacles that you and I face in the Christian life. We don't like them. We would not put them there if we had a choice. But you see, just as the nation of Israel faced this obstacle, God places obstacles in your life and mine. He puts them there for a reason, And they are there for God's glory and for the strengthening of our faith. Now, briefly, as we look at this example in Israel's history tonight, hopefully we'll get some help from God's word. Amen? How you and I can better face the obstacles that God will place in our path in the days ahead. If you'll turn to Joshua chapter 6, please, and verse number 1. Thank you for turning there. The first lesson we learn in chapter number 6 and verse 1 is that Israel had a problem. And it was a great problem. The Bible tells us in verse number 1, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none went in. Now that's very clear, isn't it? God's word tells us that the city was sealed. No one coming in, no one coming out. You see, the Canaanites in Jericho knew who was coming. Just like Rahab, they had heard the warning. Just like Rahab, they had heard the great miracles that God, the one true God, had wrought among the Israelites. Now, Rahab had heard the warning, and she heeded to it, and she repented, but the rest of the city didn't. Now, why is that? No doubt the hardness of their hearts, yes, but also the city that they believed was indestructible. You see, in Joshua's day, the city of Jericho was literally, from a military standpoint, practically impregnable. Impregnable. Jericho was surrounded by a system, as you may know, of two massive stone walls. The outer wall was 2 meters thick and about 6 meters high. The inner wall was 3.5 meters thick and 9 meters high. And between the walls was a guarded walkway about 4.5 meters wide. Now, no doubt the Canaanites felt safe behind their walls. They felt so safe, and they were deluded by their own self-security that they did not repent like Rahab did. That's how secure they felt. That's how safe they believed their city was behind these great, massive walls. And as the nation of Israel faced this obstacle, no doubt we can see very clearly tonight that it was a great obstacle. This wasn't a small matter. This was an overwhelming impossibility. How are we going to do this? We cannot possibly do this. Almost a dead end for the nation of Israel. And what a picture of the obstacles in your life and mine. You know, there are obstacles right now that you and I are facing that are like a walled city. We know we cannot climb it. We know we cannot go through it. We know we cannot go under it, as the children's story goes. So what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, in the spiritual life, the Bible tells us that if we don't handle our obstacles by faith, they will overwhelm us. They will overwhelm us. Maybe there is a fear in your heart right now, and I've been there before. I remember going door knocking once, and I was excited to go out, and I was keen. It was a new year, and off we went to a new area, and the first response that we received that day frightened me. It was scary. It was demonic. And from that point on, I was shaken. I became afraid to go out again, even though I forced myself to go out. And there are times that we can't become so discouraged as God's witnesses because of the hateful and aggressive responses, we can become crippled by fear. Isn't that true? Crippled within. We start to get nervous. We start to feel overwhelmed and wonder how we can possibly go out again, how we can possibly hand out a tract or witness to a loved one when they were so hateful and aggressive against us. And we cower in our shells and hide from every opportunity. That can be a great wall before us, crippling fear to be a witness. Maybe there's a family trouble that no doubt exists in all of our lives, in one area or another. Family problem that brings tears to our hearts, leaves us wondering what there is left for us to do. Maybe there's a financial trouble that you're facing this morning that is stressing you to the point of breaking, and you're overwhelmed and consumed by how you are ever going to get through this. Maybe it's a besetting sin, a sin that you have come to accept will never go away. You'll never have victory over. And you're content with just hiding it and hoping that no one will find out. Just assuming you'll never have victory. And may I encourage you this evening that God put this city in Israel's way for them to experience a great victory. It was an obstacle that was destined to be overcome. But by faith alone, Hebrews 11:30 tells us, was the only way they could experience victory. And by faith, we need to see our obstacles, our great obstacles, as great opportunities for God to receive the glory. Now, I know that's not how you feel this evening. And I know that to a measure, perhaps the nation of Israel did not feel that way. They also had the same flesh that you and I have. But by faith, amen? That's the key to Hebrews 11. By faith we must see that obstacles are opportunities to see victory through God. Now isn't that what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12? Why don't we quickly turn there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Apostle Paul was given something that I would never want, and I would too pray for it to be removed, a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. And though perhaps you've read these verses many times before, maybe you haven't, but we must read them by faith in order for them to help us in our spiritual life. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The Bible says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure," the Apostle Paul said, "through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that I might that it might depart from me." And that's our same desire, isn't it? When an obstacle is placed before us, when it overwhelms us, what do? We ask the Lord to remove it. The Apostle Paul was no different. "Lord, I don't want this. Lord, this is the worst timing. Lord, this is too much. I can't handle this problem." What does the Bible say? Verse 9, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Notice what Paul goes on to say. That's the promise of God in verse 9. And Paul says in response, "Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now this is ridiculous to the flesh. And so foreign to us as Christians. Why? Because of our lack of faith. How often do we see our obstacles as something to be excited about? Our pastor knows that's not my first response. I call him up and tell him about my problems. And we're all the same. You know, why are you allowing this, Lord? I don't want this. And God says, I put that problem, that obstacle, that great wall, if you will, before you, so that you can experience something that you would never otherwise know as a Christian, which is what it means to live by faith. You see, our great problems are great opportunities for God to show Himself strong. And we need to learn the lesson that when we are completely helpless and hopeless, and we are unable to handle life, that's when we can experience the power of God. Amen. And it's only then, it's only through that path that we can experience victory. That we can experience what God wants to teach us. See, He is the author and finisher of our faith. You were enrolled into the school of faith when you were saved. You and I will graduate from the school of faith when we see the Lord Jesus Christ and we hear the shout, amen, the graduation shout. That's when the school of faith will end. But until then, one obstacle after another. Obstacles that are designed for you and I to face and for you and I not to be able to handle. Every day, obstacles come our way. There are daily obstacles. There are great yearly obstacles. There are obstacles that perhaps have been there for decades. And God has placed them there as an opportunity for faith. Beloved, if you're facing a tragic, heart-wrenching obstacle right now, let me encourage you. God has a way. God has a way. Amen. He hasn't saved us for defeat. He has saved us for victory through faith in Him. Well, Israel had a great problem, didn't they? Notice next, Israel had some great promises. Now, this is wonderful. Look with me in Joshua chapter number 6. Now, so often we read of God's promises, but they don't impact us as they should. Again, because they are not mingled with faith. Notice Joshua chapter number 6 and verse 2. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. Now, do you see a contradiction between verse 1 and verse 2? The city was shut up. No going in and out. They were sealed within their walls. How can they be defeated? How can the nation of Israel move forward? And then God says, see, I've given the city into your hand. Wow. What is the Lord saying here? Well, notice that God is giving His people a promise of victory before they even enter into the battle. Isn't that amazing? God gives His people the promise of victory before they even attack the city of Jericho. Before they even enter into the battle. And what a wonderful reminder that God does exactly the same thing for you and I in the precious Word of God. What a wonderful thing. God's Word is sufficient. You see, every obstacle that you and I face, God has already promised victory for the Christian before we even face that battle. Before we even face those trials. God's Word was settled in eternity past and will continue into eternity future, and you and I as Christians have great hope and great courage when we face our battles, because those battles have already been given the promise of victory. Well, we have God's promise, don't we, that all our battles have been arranged by the Lord. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, for we know, or we ought to know, that all things work together for good. Amen? All our battles have been arranged by the Lord. We know that joy in the time of trial is only limited by our faith. Why? Because Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You see, we have God's promises already. We have His promises that we will never fight alone when we enter the battle. Matthew 28 verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We have God's promise of power in the day of battle. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. We can put on the whole armor of God. We can stand in that evil day because of the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, we know that there is no besetting sin, no stronghold, none in the Christian life that cannot be brought down like the walls of Jericho of old, that cannot be brought down by the power of the Word of God. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You see, when Israel faced this great obstacle, yes, their obstacle was great, but God's promises were greater. God's promises were greater. He said to Joshua, Joshua, the victory's already been won. Can you see it? Well, how could he see it? Couldn't see it with his eyes, but he could see it by, say it, faith. He could see it by faith. And you and I can have courage when we face the obstacles before us by claiming the promises of the Word of God. Now, I know this isn't anything new, but so often it's new to us because we don't claim His promises by faith. We know them by sight. We hear them by attendance in church. We even teach them by practice as ministers of the Word of God. But do we know them by faith? And God says, no, you don't. I'm putting you in the school of faith so you'll learn them. I'm putting those obstacles before you so that you can experience my sufficient grace. What a wonderful promise that when our battles are ended, there will be a victory cheer and a victory celebration never seen in the history of this world when we see our Lord face to face in eternity to come. That's why the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have His promises. And as you face those walled cities, those obstacles before you, like all of us here this evening, we need to take God at His word. We need to take Him more than ever at His word. Those familiar verses you've memorized before, scripture memory verses, praise God for memorizing the word of God. But David said, "Thy word have I put into my thoughts." No, my heart. My heart, the very depth of his heart. That's where he put the word of God. He believed the word of God. He memorized the word of God. And the word of God is what revives us, strengthens us, gives us hope and victory in the time of trial. I remember recently one day coming out of my office, and it was a hot day. Every day is a hot day. Just breathe. I'm sure breathing in that air conditioned air does something to your brain. So excuse me if something was missing tonight. But I came out of my office, Pastor, my head felt like a ton of bricks. Just all the problems of the world, all the problems of the church, and all the messages that were whirling through my mind that I had to somehow keep in memory till Sunday, be ready to go. And then as soon as I left the office, I know that not time to relax. If you're a parent, you've got family. And dads, you know what that feels like when you come home from work and a new work begins. Ministering to your family, ministering to your wife. And you may have a headache. You may feel overwhelmed and feel like you can't go on. You feel like quitting. But that's not the time to quit. Now, mums, you feel the same way when the day is over and the little chickens are in bed and you finally put them down to sleep. And then again, the work starts. It's time to get the washing done. It's time to do some things that you can only do after they're in bed. Amen? Is that right? And so often we feel overwhelmed, and that can just be the daily routine, the daily needs of the hour. And so often we can be discouraged by the burdens of life, by the duties of life, the responsibilities of life that are not sinful, but God has put them there to teach us something. I remember walking out of my office, and a little gift that my wife put together for the ladies during their last ladies' meeting was a little picture frame with a chalkboard background on it to write some memory verses and to wipe it off and to write a new memory verse and to keep memorizing verses. And she had written down on that board 1 Corinthians 15:58. I remember walking out of my office and looking at that verse, and it's exactly what I needed. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Now that was contrary to my flesh. I did not feel like abounding. I did not feel like continuing the work of the Lord. But what we need to complete is the verse, because therein lies the promise, "For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Amen? And all I needed was the word of God, the promise of God, to revive my spirit, to realize that when we serve the Lord in our homes, when we serve the Lord in the workplace, when we serve the Lord in the ministry, our labor is not in vain. We are doing that which pleases God, that which is an investment into eternity. And doesn't God's word suddenly revive us? Suddenly give us strength. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and walk and not faint." Why do we faint? Why do we grow weary? Because we do not lay hold on the promises of God. We don't grab them by two hands and believe them with all of our heart. When was the last time, Christian, that you faced a walled city and you went to the Word of God, spent time in God's Word, and claimed a promise to overcome that trial? When was the last time you went to the Word of God? You see, there will be trials, but there are great promises, exceeding great and precious promises that God has given to you and I. Whatever overwhelming trial you have right now, there is a promise of God designed to meet that need.
Have you claimed it yet?
If not, amen. God has spoken. Make sure you claim it tonight. Make sure you seek counsel if you need to after the service. That's why there are brethren here tonight. That's why you have a pastor. Amen. And you can ask someone and share your burden and share your need and ask for prayer and claim a promise from the Word of God to overcome that need, that trial. See, Israel's problem was great, but God's promises were greater. Notice thirdly in the book of Joshua chapter number 6, Israel's partner. You see, the nation of Israel were not alone in the battle against this impossibility. Notice with me Joshua chapter number 6. From verses 3 to 5, God outlines his instructions for victory. And the Bible tells us that Joshua was given the instruction of the marching order around the city of Jericho. 7 priests were to carry 7 trumpets. Priests were to carry also the ark. The armed men were to follow, and then the rest of the people behind them. And God gave his instructions to the nation of Israel for how they were to march, what they were to carry, what they were to do, and they were to circle the city once a day for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, they were to circle the city 7 times. And only on the very last day were they to give a shout of victory, but until then, zip your lips. Not a word. But the priests would blow their trumpet each day. That was God's plan. Now, if you and I would have heard that, we may have been asking some questions. Some serious questions from God. Lord, is this really going to work? But what a wonderful picture we see in God's marching order. Let me ask the question, what was the most important feature in the marching order? Was it the armed men? Were they going to do the job? Was it the priests that blew the trumpets? That was an important feature. What was the most important feature and focus in the marching order? The ark. What does the ark represent? The ark, does it not, represent the visible reminder of God's presence with his people. God wanted Joshua and the people, more importantly, to know that they were not entering into the battle alone. That God was with them. God was going before them. Of course, within the very ark itself, they had the word of God. God's word would be true and would be sure. Notice Joshua chapter number 5. Joshua chapter number 5, verses 13 to 15. Remember how the Bible tells us in verse 13, as Joshua was by Jericho, as he lifted up his eyes and looked, the Bible says, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Are you on our side or are you an enemy? How does this man respond? Verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, as Joshua was given the command to attack the city of Jericho in God's way, trusting by faith in the living God, God was very clear to Joshua and to the nation of Israel that he would be with them. In fact, much more than that, notice this one, which we understand as God, a Christophany, the appearance of God before Joshua, he didn't say which side he was on, did he? He didn't say, no, Joshua, I'm on your side. He didn't say, Joshua, you're on my side. No, he said this. He said, as captain of the Lord's host am I come. You see, this one, God himself, did not come to choose sides. He came to take control of the battle. He came to take over. And that's what God does in our lives. We don't have a little friend called God. We have a great and mighty God that is in control of all things. He has already gone before us. He goes behind us. He is the captain of the Lord's host. And Israel had a wonderful, mighty partner in the battle. When was the last time you faced a terrible obstacle, a great impossibility, and God, by his Holy Spirit, reminded you, not only has he put it there, not only does he know why He has placed that there. But He is with you. He is with you. He is with you in the battle. And we have a Lord, as we know, who can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. We know that the Lord loves us. We know that the Lord is with us. And God wanted Israel to know this to be true. God wants us to know this to be true. As we face the obstacles of our lives, God wants us to know we do not face them alone. We do not face them alone. Whenever you and I feel alone in the Christian life, that is a lie from our sinful flesh. That's where it's from. It's not a message from the Spirit of God. It is a lie from the pit of hell. You're alone. You can't go on. The devil discouraging his servants. Our old wicked flesh pulling us down. That's not from God. That's not from God. Romans chapter 8 verse 37 says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. God loves you. And we are more than conquerors through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You feel like a conqueror this evening? Well, we can only experience that strengthening of faith if we are trusting in His promises. If we are trusting in His presence. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, the Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Isn't that a promise of God? Very simple one. But one we so often cast down by our foolish imaginations. We cast down the promises of God by our worldly, foolish, self-pitying, talking about myself, imaginations. And yet what God wants us to do is exalt and lift up the Word of God, to honour and glorify the Word of God, and remember that we have the Lord. He is with us. He is for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's what ought to encourage your faith and mine this week. You know, God had a wonderful plan when He designed church to be on Sunday, the first day of the week. Because as we enter into the week, there are some walled cities ahead. We need to be reminded regularly by the Word of God that we can have victory. We can have victory. And what did God say to Joshua? I want you to know you have victory now. What's up ahead, you'll need to walk through by faith. But the victory has been won. Do you believe that when it comes to what you're facing right now? Do you believe that? Now, if we do, if we believe that, yes, the problem is great, but God's promises are greater, and our partner is the greatest, then we will prevail by faith. And that's exactly what happened to the nation of Israel. Joshua chapter number 6. Turn quickly with me there. Israel prevailed by faith. Now we know in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 30, the Bible says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, and here's the key, after they were compassed about 7 days. In verse number 6, Joshua called the priests, gave them the instructions. In verse number 8, the people obeyed. Now imagine what the people thought when Joshua relayed these instructions. You mean we're not going to attack the city? We're not going to use our weapons of warfare? You mean we're going to blow trumpets? We're going to walk around the walled city for 7 days, 7 times on the 7th day, on the 7th day, completely out in the open, vulnerable to the attack of the Canaanites. Can you imagine how some of them may have felt? They would have been out in the open. They would have been completely exposed. Some of them may have thought, Lord, I think I've got a better way. I think I've got a better idea, like I do. That's what I say to the Lord. Lord, I've got a better idea, a better way of doing things. And God says, no, I want you to obey my word. Amen. And that's the key. And you see, let's be honest, the nation of Israel learnt the lesson by now. Because their forefathers had been had, had been the greatest murmurers that we know in all history. And so God said to his people, this is what I want you to do. And I believe they understood very clearly that God's way is perfect, that God's word is true. All they needed to do was obey by faith. How did they prevail? They obeyed. They obeyed by faith. Though it did not make sense, they obeyed without complaining. Notice verse number 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, ye shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Shall ye shout? Now that's a good lesson for you and I as we face the obstacles in our lives. And we need to be careful of our sinful flesh that likes to do all the talking when honestly it's time to zip our lips before we accuse the Lord of doing evil when he's doing good. We need to be careful to obey by faith. What is obedience? Obedience is faith in the Word of God and you and I not murmuring against what God's way of victory is. You and I not murmuring against what we believe should be done or how things should be done. I've been guilty of complaining about many a thing when I should have just kept my lips shut and not share my burdens with my wife. The Lord has a wonderful way of using our wives to then rebuke us. Amen? That's why God says it's not good for a man to be alone. Because suddenly he gets carried away with his own foolish thoughts, and then we're in trouble. Don't say a word, but obey. Obey. That's what the nation of Israel did. They said, yes, Lord, we will obey. And that's what faith is. Faith obeys absolutely. Doesn't seek its own way. And God has a plan for our lives, even though our circumstances oppose his commands. If we obey his word, we will prevail. If we obey his truth, we will prevail. The obedience of faith. That's how they prevailed. But perhaps just as importantly, lastly, there's the patience of faith. Patience. Patience. Notice verse number 15. And it came to pass on the seventh day that they rose early about the dawning of the day and compassed the city. What are the next words? After the same manner. Can you see that this evening? Now speak up loudly or I'll have to start the message again. You've missed it all. After the same manner. Is that true? Amen. What does that mean? That means they did the same thing day after day after day. If you read the preceding verses, they went out, they marched around the city, they blew their trumpets and went back to camp. The second day they went out and did the same thing. They compassed the city, the priests blew the trumpets and they went back to camp. By the third day you and I would have perhaps been looking at the walls, Brother James, and you would have seen more clearly than me that nothing has moved. There is no breaking of the mortar. There is no shifting of the bricks. There is no crumbling of the walls. All right, let's give it another go on the fourth day. Circle the city. Blow the trumpets. Anything happening. Now they're halfway through the promise of God. They're walking in obedience, would you agree? And yet nothing at all has changed one little bit. No visible result of victory. No visible indication of the walls come crumbling down. Now can you imagine the expectation that was in their hearts on the seventh day and the 13th lap of the city? What's going to happen? Is this really God's will? Is this really God's way of victory? Now what would you and I have done? Would we have stayed in the marching order? Would we have obeyed God? Or would we have simply run away? And herein lies the breaking point of most Christians today. Brethren, you know what you and I do? We give up on the seventh lap of the seventh day. That's what we do. We give up on the seventh lap of the seventh day. Why? Because year after year, we continue on. And we may not see any change. We may not see any difference. And we become discouraged. Day after day, we continue on in our spiritual disciplines. And though we may not see victory in its entirety as yet, we take over and choose a point where we've drawn a line and said, that's enough. I can't take this anymore. Lord, there's nothing happening. Now that's what it was like for the nation of Israel. Brethren, don't forget, again, they saw no change. Nothing more to indicate that victory was in sight apart from what you and I have, the promises of God. It's only His promises that they had to cling on to. There was nothing else left. Nothing that they could see. Nothing that they could feel. No emotions that could be stirred up by pumping rock music. Amen? Nothing at all. All they had were the concrete, mighty promises of God. Nothing that they could see. Nothing that they could see. Now we all have expectations and we all have our limits and God knows that. So He stretches us beyond our limits to grow us by faith. Now we've all felt like at times in the Christian life that we're going around in circles. Amen? Isn't that right? We're going around in circles. Nothing seems to be happening. We go to church on Sunday. We go to church on Wednesday. And we wonder if it's making a difference. We wonder if God's Word is sinking in. We read our Bibles that at times are dry in the morning when we're tired and we're falling asleep. That makes us more discouraged and praying. And we wonder if our walk with the Lord is making a difference. We wonder if... Now, what's the anniversary this year, Pastor? Metropolitan Baptist Church. 43. Sorry, I should have known. 43. We wonder if, after 43 years of door knocking, it makes a difference or it's worth it at all to go out for another year. Now, let's be honest. Haven't you as a church knocked on the doors in this community, yes or no? And sometimes you might feel as a soul winner where we're just going in circles. We're doing the same thing over and over again, and oftentimes there's no visible difference. No change. Maybe no one turned up to church recently. Maybe no one was saved and it can seem dry and it can seem repetitious. Can it not? To be a soul winner. But God calls us to obey His Word. But here lies the victory. You and I do not know, but God does, when the walls will come crumbling down. Because there is the silence of obedience, but then next, there is the shout of victory. And the Bible tells us by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Suddenly, someone comes to church from door knocking. Suddenly, a young girl in the youth group puts her hand up and says, I've never been saved. I need to be saved. I've been lying all this time. I need the Lord Jesus Christ, the Saviour. And suddenly another teenager gets saved. My wife and I are sitting there thinking, may the Lord rebuke us for our unbelief and our lack of patience. Patience. Patience in the work of God. You see, God has ordained us to live by faith. The just shall live by faith, not by sight. But what we do, we look at the bricks. We look at the walls. There is no change. There is no movement. There is no indication that anything has ever happened. But that's not the time to give up. That's the time to lay hold on the promises of God once again and believe that victory is possible. Suddenly, our children start to respond. Haven't you ever felt as a parent that all that correction is good for nothing? I know I have. They just go back and do the same thing again. All right, so I'm going to be consistent. Now that can be tiring, that can be difficult, that can be discouraging. When you have daughters, they like to pull little faces and scream and pull on dad's heartstrings. So what do? Well, you need to exercise some more discipline and be consistent and continue, what? Obeying the Word of God. Why? Because God promises, does he not? In the book of Proverbs, wonderful promises if we are faithful. And so you're chastening them, you're correcting them, but you don't see any change. You don't see any difference. They're not much better. In fact, they're getting worse. What do you do as a parent? What do you do? Do you quit on the seventh lap of the seventh day? Or do you believe the word of God once again the next day? And continue on. And suddenly, your little children start to ask questions about the Lord. And you realize that bringing them to church is not a waste of time. You realize that something is sinking in Sunday school. You realize that when you spend time with them as children in the home, teaching them the word of God, and investing time and effort and praying for them, that labor is not in vain. Suddenly they start to ask, Mum and Dad, do I believe in the Lord? Am I forgiven for my sins? Suddenly, there's victory. Suddenly the walls come crumbling down. And we cannot know when that takes place. We simply must obey the word of God. You do not know, church family, who the next one is to walk through those doors. Who the next one is to get saved. So what do we do? Do we give up because we don't see any change? Do we give up because we're discouraged? No, we press on. By faith. By faith the walls came down. By faith, brethren. So if you and I would lay hold on his promises by faith today, in time to come we will see victory. In time to come we will see revival. We have to stay faithful. We have to stay faithful. Notice with me Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse 36. Now, this is a lesson that I am learning slowly. And I'm thankful for the Lord's patience. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 36. Excuse me, chapter 10 verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36. Let's read it together out loud on two. One, two. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Patience, and then the promise. Patience, and then the promise. But Lord, you have promised. And God says, yes, I have. But you need to have patience. 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 You see, God is working in your life and mine over a lifetime. The author and the finisher. That means patience. Patience in the will of God. See, God knows what he's doing in your life and mine. There are obstacles that we're facing right now that God has put there for victory, not for defeat. We need to be encouraged in the word of God. You need to be encouraged in God's word tonight. Otherwise, you'll be the next one to quit. On the seventh lap of the seventh day. What a tragedy that would have been if they murmured like their forefathers and could not enter in because of unbelief. What a tragedy that would have been. Now what a tragedy that is in the Christian life when we miss out on the victories of God. And thank God he is patient with us. Thank God that he works in our lives. I trust he's been working in yours. He's been working in mine. Brethren, silence will be turned into shouting if we are patient as we obey. Now, when those walls come crumbling down, that only God could bring down in his timing, here's the pinnacle of this message. Who gets the glory? Who is it that gets the glory? It's God. And that's the point all along. You're not meant to overcome those obstacles. He is. You're meant to walk by faith. You're meant to be obedient. You're meant to have patience because God will get the glory. And that is what our world needs to see. They need to see Christians walking in victory. They need to see the walls come crumbling down like the Canaanites heard, oh no, Jericho has fallen. God will get the glory in your life, in your family's life, in your witness in the community. And we need to be faithful. Don't quit, brethren, on the seventh lap of the seventh day. We've got great problems. But God's promises are greater. Our partner is the greatest, the Lord. And we can prevail by faith if we simply follow His word. Now, the Lord encourages us tonight to head into this week and face our obstacles.